The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this November 26, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Lots to get to on the show today. This may be the greatest 2 or 3 day stretch in Auburn fandom history in quite some time. I mean, it has just been one thing after the other, in a good way, right? It's been a long time since we've had a stretch like this, and it can continue tonight. Lots to get to on that side of things. Auburn basketball, if you stayed up late, you got to see it. Tigers take down Iowa State in Maui. Auburn basketball 83, Iowa State 81. Full breakdown of that today. Plus a preview of what's coming up tonight, as your reward is another top 15 team. It's the Tar Heels of North Carolina. We're talking about that today. Plus more reactions and breakdown of Auburn and Texas A&M. More college football playoff conversation. We've got rankings coming out tonight. You name it, we got it right here on ESPN 106.7. Need to address the comments from DeMarcus Riddick. I know I kind of addressed it, I guess. I teased it yesterday, and we just never could get back to it. So we'll do that today. And whatever else is on your mind, it's a Tuesday, which means no guests. You have plenty of time to get in on the show this afternoon. 334-321-1390. That's the phone line number to call in and be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. Or the easiest way to get to us is shoot us a text. 334-784-1067 in the On the Line text box. And I say we, because this guy joins me every Tuesday, voice of Lee Scott Academy, Christian Griffin's in the studio. What's up, my man? How are you?
What's up? You talked about the biggest stretch or the happiest stretch that Auburn has felt in a really long time. We were sitting there talking about it last night. By no means am I calling my shot here, but this could be the happiest or the best week and a half stretch of Auburn sports, arguably of all time.
Yeah.
Other than possibly a national championship being, you know, taking place over that stretch, but the amount of games that are being played, going back to Texas A&M on Saturday, you now defeat Iowa State last night, possibly North Carolina, and who else tomorrow. Then all of a sudden you fast forward to Saturday, then you fast forward to next Wednesday as well as Auburn takes on Duke. So by no means are we calling our shot here, but what possibly could be the best stretch of Auburn athletics possibly ever.
Well, I know you have a lot of thoughts on Auburn football against Texas A&M. We'll get to that a little bit later, again, with some of the comments from Auburn, as well as they're ready to play this game in the parking lot right now, playing the Iron Bowl. And lots of responses to what was said yesterday. So again, a lot of that coming up, your thoughts on that as well. And we have to start, though, with what happened last night in Maui. I mean, the Maui Invitational, right, coming into it, well, every year is one of the prestigious non-conference tournaments during Feast Week.
I think you could take one of out of the equation.
You think it is?
It is the premier Feast Week tournament.
And it always debuts so many big-time names, but this could be the biggest one ever. I mean, you're talking top five teams, top 15, top 25. I mean, you're talking some of the biggest brands historically and in this new era of college basketball. And it got started yesterday while we were on the air when Memphis takes down the number two team in the country, UConn, 99-97. Was Dan Hurley happy about that? I couldn't hear. I didn't know if he was okay after that
loss.
I don't
think you wanted to hear anything.
No,
that was
I don't
said,
think it was clean.
But If you wanted a little glimpse of it, go to the post-game locker room where he is getting lit up on social media for just going at the referees in the post-game presser. And again, you hear all about the way that things go and things that are said, but by no means does it give you the right to not even talk about your team or talk about the other team, but talk about one call that gave you a loss.
Which, look, the call itself was not great. I agree, right? I know where he's coming from, and he was visibly upset and said some words that got him teed up, and Memphis goes on to win the basketball game. But, yeah, you see it happen, right? A couple of times a year where head coaches, whether it be college football, college basketball, NFL, NBA, NHL, whatever the case may be, right? You see head coaches lose their cool every now and then, especially in the post-game pressers, and they take their fine and they move on. But I don't know, man. Dan Hurley just rubs me the wrong way sometimes. And look, he's very cocky. He's very, very cocky. But he backs it up. He's a back-to-back national champion. And I've always said, you can be cocky when you win.
Yeah.
I've always said that. And so, you may not like him, but he wins. You just got to find a proper way to act. And this game, Memphis winning 99-97, just pretty much was the perfect start to this tournament on what was going to happen throughout this thing. And the one that we're going to talk a lot about today is Auburn and Iowa State. 83-81, Tigers come back from 18 down, Christian Griffin. Down 18 points to the fifth-ranked team in the country who had their way in the first half of that game last night. And somehow, Auburn found a way to win.
If Iowa State played 40 minutes of basketball each and every night, or at least 75% of the nights, the way they played the first half against Auburn, they would not lose another game this year. And I don't think that that's anything negative to say. There was not a team in college basketball that would have beaten the Iowa State Cyclones in the first 20 minutes of gameplay. But halftime adjustments for Auburn. The defensive intensity. Chad Baker Mazzara coming out in the second half. And I know we'll get into it a lot. I know we both want to kind of give our flowers for a couple different players.
Sure.
One in the first half, especially again, Chad Baker in the second. But I'm going to start off by saying this. How comfortable do you feel with Denver Jones being your ball handler?
Very.
It is white noise when you're going to sleep. It is ultimate peace. It is you sitting on the beaches in Maui as soon as he gets the ball in his hands, because there are plenty of times to where it feels like Auburn's in go, 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 go mode, and there's back-to-back turnovers, or there's possessions where you feel like everything is out of sync.
Terrible
all of a sudden,
shots, yeah.
You give 12 the basketball, and what happens?
Exhale. And you cannot, you have not been able to say that for an Auburn point guard since Jared Harper.
No, it's not at all. And it goes back, you could say it goes even further than him at times, but last night as a whole presented everything that we've talked about Denver Jones being. A great defender, makes every single right choice when he has the basketball in his hands. And I'm going to go and say that he was the MVP, at least in my mind, of making that last play happen. He did not get the shot to go, but Auburn fans, I know if you're listening, how many times have we sat on our couch, at the end of our couch, and seen Auburn take three more dribbles in that situation and chuck up a 30-foot prayer?
Wendell Green.
How many times have you seen it? It's exhausting. So you saw Denver Jones get a high ball screen, go left, and what did he do? He turned his shoulders and got downhill. He didn't get the shot to go, but him drawing defensive pressure, both of their big men went for blocks. And what did that allow him to do? That allowed Jani Broom to sit on the right side and Dylan Cardwell to sit on the left. Shot went off the back iron and shot to the right. Jani Broom, right hand, tip in, ball game.
On a night where Denver Jones did not play well, a night where Denver Jones shot 3 of 10 from the floor, 0 of 3 from downtown, but stepped up and knocked all 6 of his free throws down, had a couple of assists, just the one turnover, heck, even grabbed a couple of boards as well, and did what a point guard was supposed to do, and indirectly went and won you the basketball game. Everything you said is exactly right. It's exactly right, because you have a confidence, and this is why we called for this late last year. Not just us, a lot of people did. I said, I want to see him play point guard more.
Yeah.
And this is why he did. This is why BP has now put Denver Jones at the point guard spot. because he has such a command for the game and for the offense, and he does it on both ends of the floor. I said to you last night, he may be better defensively than he is offensively, which is not a crazy statement. And Auburn is using that to their advantage. And you talk about showing love to guys that deserve it. You have to give a lot to Jani Broome, who hit the game-winning tip-in,
for
right?
Sure.
I mean, thanks to Denver Jones, Jani Broome had put himself in a position to make the right play in a game where I don't think he played his best basketball. He got bullied at times. And he went back to, and I'll say it, he went back to old Jani sometimes last night, where he would throw up some shots that aren't his best, or he would go into soft territory and would kind of shy away from contact. Now, early on, he was worried about some fouls. That ended up not being an issue, to where he could then come back and play his style of basketball in most of the second half. But on a night where he didn't play his best, is what we're saying, he still had 21 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and a game winner to help you beat the 5th-ranked team in the country. That's what makes this Auburn team different.
We talked about it with Chad Baker-Mazzara as well, the big-time second half that he had. There's a different energy level when CBM is on the floor.
And
you
I
can
love
see it.
It.
I mean, when he was taken out in the first half, you could see the energy just kind of drop. But then you saw the way that he came in the second half, and you obviously saw what Auburn did in the second half. Tahad Pettiford as well as somebody that we're giving flowers to for the first half, keeping Auburn afloat. You mentioned, you talked about it last night. They were breathing through a straw. They were underneath the water, but they were barely breathing, and that straw was Tahad Pettiford.
Because of him.
Keeping him alive, having double-digit points in the first half.
I mean, it literally was Tahad Pettiford knocking down a couple of insane threes, those type of threes that we don't like to see, but when they go in, you're like, all right, well, that's cool. Here we go. Go play defense, right? I mean, he's good enough to hit some of those shots. I think he's proven that. And again, on a night that he didn't play his best basketball, especially shut down in the second half, he was the reason Auburn was around. He was the reason Auburn even had a prayer when they went into the locker room and we're down by 16 and we're like, all things considered, I think this is okay. We felt that this Auburn team could come back. And Iowa State shot the ball incredibly well in the first half. That defense had Auburn all out of sorts, completely flustered. That's the best defensive team I've seen in quite some time for Iowa State. And not for Iowa State, I'm talking just in general,
yeah,
across college basketball. I mean, that was legit. But we figured that they would not shoot that well in the second half. We also figured they would get worn down, and Auburn put them in some foul trouble to where they had to rotate and shift around some guys. And Auburn goes on, what, an 18-2 run or something like that, and all of a sudden, boom, you got a tie ball game, and Auburn found a way to win it at the end.
It's the biggest thing. And again, going back to the halftime adjustments, I don't think Auburn was ready for how high the ball pressure was, and I especially don't think they were ready for double-teaming off of ball screens,
mm-hmm,
because that doesn't happen very often. Usually you have the person who is defending the screener, they almost blitz you and then back off as soon as to make you get rid of the ball so that way everybody can rotate back. But instead, you turned around and the point guard or whoever was guarding the guy who was getting the on-ball screen was standing behind you. The big man would come and all of a sudden you would try and turn away and escape dribble and pass it back and nobody was there. And all of a sudden you're turning the ball over. We saw Miles Kelly, it happened with a couple times. CBM early in the game, it happened a couple times. Auburn quickly realized that once you hit the screen, you go downhill and you pass forward or you pass to the corner, make it to where they're having to go into a little bit of a scramble drill, and it really, really paid dividends late in the second half.
Auburn ended up shooting better than Iowa State in this basketball game. You want to know by how much? 0.3. 47.5 to 47.2.
But after shooting, I think it was 34% in the first half.
Yeah, so Auburn shot extremely much better in the second half. Auburn shot 33% from behind the arc. I'm 9 of 27, right? I don't love seeing this Auburn team shoot that much, but when they get hot, they get hot, right? I mean, you had Miles Kelly knock down a couple. You had Jani Broome knock down a couple after starting, I believe, 0 for 3 or 0 for 4 from behind the arc. And then they started to get their rhythm underneath them. Pettiford, as we mentioned, as well. It was also nice to see Auburn knock down free throws. Both teams shot around 82%. Now, Iowa State shot seven more than you. They made six more, but I don't think there's any argument on the fouls. The game was very questionably officialed, but I think that's just college basketball nowadays. But you can't say enough about this Auburn team and the comeback that they had. I mean, 18 points down against that Iowa State team, a top five matchup, not in Neville, right? In Hawaii, right? That's a point you've made, is you see Auburn do that at home sometimes. You've seen them fall behind in SEC games in the past and make a big run, or heck, even one of these mid-majors who comes in and takes a lead within the first 10 minutes, and then Auburn settles out. They win the game by 30 or whatever. But Auburn just, hey, Spectre, you're out there. They refused to lose, right? They refused to lose, and they found a way to win. Chad Baker-Mazzara was hurt. Jahni Broom was cramping. You had guys falling all over the place, and they found a way to win. You've seen the stats by now, the historical things that Auburn has done already. This is the first time in program history that they have two top five wins in the same season. They've done that within the first five games of the season.
And I believe it's the first team since like the 1980 Kansas team to have two top five wins in their first five games of the season.
And they still have top 15 North Carolina, top 15 Duke, top 25 Ohio State, top 15 Purdue, like whoever else they play in Maui. Like, they still have all of these games on the docket, and yet they've got the best resume in college basketball, and it's not even close. And they could carry these two wins all the way to March.
It's crazy to think that there's not going to be a team that picks up two better wins this season.
Especially in that time frame.
And the time frame, but there might not even be a team that picks up as big of a win unless it's Auburn. And who would have thought that, I mean, Auburn's considered to be one of the best wins of the entire season for possibly a team that's trying to make their way into the tournament.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you got to think about that. I mean, somebody's going to beat Auburn at some point. I mean, I don't think this team goes undefeated. I think they're good enough to, but I think we got to be real here for a little bit. So somebody's going to get, as of right now, a top five win. I mean, heck, it could be North Carolina tonight.
Yeah.
Who came back from 21 down against Dayton last night, which sets up for a really, really big game in Maui tonight. More on that when we come back. Auburn beats Iowa State 83-81. We'll talk more about that. Preview Auburn, North Carolina. What else is going on around college basketball? Yesterday was fun. Tonight could be even better. We'll have more of that as we're just underway here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. College basketball, man, may just be the greatest sport going right now with everything that happened yesterday. We didn't even hit on it all because we got so caught up highlighting Auburn's big, big win over Iowa State, 83-81, and a top five matchup. Mentioned that Memphis beat UConn yesterday to take down the number two team in the country. And also mentioned, too, Auburn's opponent tonight is North Carolina because of what they did last night against Dayton. For those of you that stayed up, congratulations. I didn't. I didn't stay up for it because I knew, especially after Auburn won, I said, I got to stay up even later tomorrow. Nope, I'm heading to bed. I'll watch the highlights, which I did today. And that first half was dominated by the Flyers. They put up 51 points in the first 20 minutes. You thought Auburn's 18-point comeback was impressive. North Carolina said, hold my beer. How about 21? They come back and win 92-90.
Yeah, it would have been crazy for one of us to have stayed up and watched it all.
You didn't do that, did you?
No, definitely not.
Not you.
I definitely sat there and did not say, ain't no way that Dayton gives up a 21-point lead.
Not my Flyers, man. Not my Flyers. Oh, I do love them, but
you almost needed North Carolina to win this game just so that way you can have a winner or somebody you want to win.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I mean, I would obviously pull for Auburn over Dayton, but I do love my Flyers. I mean, and there were a decent amount of Dayton fans. That's one thing about the Flyers, man. They'll travel. I mean, they're looking for any excuse to get out of Dayton, Ohio. I promise. They're looking for any reason to get out of there, especially right now. They got their first snow the other day, so they were like, "To heck with this, we're going to the beach."
Yeah, we'll go sit in 80-degree whether drink a pina colada on the beach and watch the Dayton Flyers. I'll tell you what, Auburn's going to be in an away game tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I truly believe that because, I mean, UNC fans, they took up 75% of that gym in there, which, again, what a beautiful gym.
They may have been outnumbered from Iowa State.
You think so?
I don't know.
Oh, wait, Iowa State. I thought you were saying UNC to Dayton. There we go. No, I would say Iowa State had more fans there than Auburn did. So, I mean, this game is going to be heavily in white and powder blue. But the two biggest stories was Seth Trimble and R.J. Davis. R.J. Davis did a lot at the free throw line. He went 10 of 11 at the free throw line. And Seth Trimble, who averages right around 8 a game, had 27 in the contest. Also had 10 rebounds and ultimately took over in that second half for North Carolina to come on top 92-90.
Other results yesterday around college basketball that impact your Tigers, impact the SEC, or just big results that are happening. Michigan State beat Colorado in the Maui. So Michigan State now plays Memphis. Auburn playing North Carolina. That's on the winner's side of the bracket. So then all the losers are, of course, on the other side. And as cool as it is to see UConn get upset, to see anybody like that get upset in a big tournament like this, I do hate it because Auburn was going to have a chance if you were to beat North Carolina tonight. You'd then have a chance to play another top five matchup against UConn. But maybe that's okay. Maybe Auburn could use a little bit of a break if they play either Memphis or Michigan State. Two great teams still, two really solid teams, but it just wouldn't be a ranked matchup. But you got to get through the Tar Heels first.
You definitely do. And just to look around the games tonight.
Tonight's awesome.
It looks like a Sweet 16 type of bracket. Like I posted a picture of it today of the 16 teams to where it's like those are the final 16 teams. I mean, you have Texas A&M playing Oregon, you have Alabama and Houston in Las Vegas, you have Iowa State and Dayton, Kansas and Duke tonight in Las Vegas. I mean, there's just so many. I mean, obviously, Auburn and North Carolina, so many games to watch. I mean, we talked about late March, early April being a really nice time. Feast Week is such an underrated time of sporting events. But the college basketball season, I mean, this is when everything really, really gets kicked off.
And, I mean, you got right now, we've got it on here in the studio, San Diego State up by 16 on Creighton, who's a top 25 team, a Creighton team that Alabama's going to play coming up in just a couple of games. And you mentioned the Crimson Tide playing Houston. People think this game's in Tuscaloosa, but you're right, it's in Las Vegas. It's on neutral site. And there's a lot of Auburn fans, not that they need any extra motivation to cheer against Alabama, but they'd love to see Houston beat Alabama just for bragging rights. And what's cool is Auburn and Alabama, by the time SEC play starts, they're going to have 2, 3, possibly 4 common opponents, which will give us a pretty good idea of where these two teams stand before their first matchup.
They definitely will. Again, both of these teams will have played Houston. Both of these teams will have played Purdue, two very, very prestigious teams in college basketball right now. And again, I know there's a couple more in there as well. You don't want to go ahead and look forward to it, but the final game of the regular season inside Neville Arena, what is it, early March, March 11th or somewhere around then, Alabama comes to Neville Arena in what could be the biggest regular season game in Auburn Arena or Neville Arena now history. I mean, what a game that could set up to be.
For the Auburn and North Carolina game tonight, I'm being told in the on-the-line text box that the public, John Q Public, that is, jumping all over North Carolina. Line has moved from 5.5 down to 3.5 for Auburn. Tigers are favored, but people are jumping on the Tar Heels, given maybe they figured it out last night in that second half. Maybe they turned it on and starting to feel themselves a little bit. So sounds like the public's starting to jump on the Tar Heels a little bit. I still don't hate Auburn's 3.5. 5.5 does seem like a lot, I guess, especially given what North Carolina had to do against Dayton last night. I'm really intrigued to see what Dayton does against Iowa State. If the Cyclones come out with that defense, Dayton has no shot tonight.
No, if they did anything what North Carolina did to them, which was keep them away from the paint, I don't think Dayton has a chance. North Carolina tonight, they're going to try and shoot a lot of free throws. Went 27 of 34 last night from the free throw line. So if you're Auburn, got to find a way to play defense without fouling. You can't get any of those cheap hand check fouls tonight.
Houston also favored over Alabama by 4.5. I think Houston beats them pretty good by the end of it, just because of their defense. I know Alabama's got the streaky offense, but that Houston defense is similar to what Auburn saw last night against Iowa State, and of course saw just a few weeks ago against that same Houston team. More college basketball talk later on in the show. We got to talk college football, man. More reactions from Auburn and Texas A&M. We got players chattering already in Iron Bowl week. All that coming up next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We'd love to hear from you at 334-321-1390. That's the phone line number, or you can shoot us a text in the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067. And Christian, your first time in the studio since Auburn football got a big win this past weekend over Texas A&M. Four overtimes. Some would argue it never should have got there. Some would argue that Auburn should be thankful that it got there, but they do get a win, the biggest win in the Hugh Freeze era, and the season is alive, and the Iron Bowl's got a little bit more juice to it now this weekend.
Who would have thought that a wide-open dropped two-point conversion could be the turnaround of the rest of this season, next year, and possibly the year to come after that? Again, there's still a whole lot of things that need to get figured out, but how nice is it to have been able to come into the station on Monday and have a, quote, victory Monday? It's been a while since you've had a couple of them.
They've been rare, too.
But, again, I do agree with you, however, that I don't believe that it should have gone to overtime. Again, I mean, so many mistakes, so many things that you can clean up. But ultimately, with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, Auburn was where they have been just about every single game this season, but something snapped. Something switched. The offense went three and out, and that was when everything felt like it was going wrong. The defense got a stop, and then the offense drove down the field. Whether you should have scored or not is beyond anything, but we're able to knock down a field goal to send it to overtime, and you did something you haven't done all year, and that's you refused to lose. You found a way to get it done.
And for this game, for this team, this program, right, you know all the narratives at this point. I mean, you got to send the seniors out the right way. You got to have the fans get their last win inside the stadium for the year. I mean, there was just so much on this game. And T-Bone and I talked about it yesterday and had a lot of people chime in on this. But it was refreshing, right? Because like you said it really well, Auburn found themselves in the same situation as they have in most of their Power Four games this year. California, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Vandy, right? All those games, they were in the same exact situation. They just couldn't find a way to win them.
You named five games, and every single one of them ended in a loss.
They all went the wrong way, right? They went against Auburn. That's something Hugh Freeze has talked about, and there's a video, right, of him in the locker room. There's a lot of them, but this one was, he said, we were in that position, and he said that it finally went our way. He said it finally went our way, and he said got to send the seniors out, you know, all that good stuff. And so whether this will be something Auburn builds off of, I don't know, right? Because we had said after the Kentucky game, after the Kentucky win, we said, okay, Auburn figured out that Jarquez Hunter exists. Auburn figured out that running the football works, and they're actually not a bad team. And they figured out that they can win games. So our question that entire week was, okay, can you build on this? Can you take that into the Vanderbilt game where they simply didn't?
They didn't, but I think one of the things that you have really, really, truly seen with this team, and you heard it with Hugh Freeze, he said it a couple weeks ago, saying that he really thinks that the offense has been simplified for a bunch of these receivers. They got a bunch of guys on the same page. They simplified the route, simplified the concepts and everything. And the passing game has looked a lot more comfortable, has it not? It makes it to where, again, not every throw is there. Not every throw, when there's a 50-50 ball, is thrown where it needs to be. That's not necessarily what I'm talking about. But you're not seeing where the ball is thrown 20 yards over a receiver because he stopped on the option that he thought was the right route and Thorne was on the other side of things. Everything has looked a lot more comfortable. Everything has been simplified. No, yeah, they remember that Cam Coleman exists.
Yeah, and Freeze even said yesterday, he said the receivers, the young guys, the young bucks are starting to learn how to run their routes correctly and run the plays correctly and do the things that they've been asked to do. And I think it's a combination of that and Auburn hopefully simplifying it just a little bit. And you're right. I mean, not every throw is there. Not every decision is the right one by Peyton. He made a terrible one against Saturday that, I mean, it could have cost Auburn the game. But those things are improving. Sucks that it's the second to last game of the year. But, hey, better late than never, right? 334-321-1390. Let's head to the phone lines. And, Ed, you're on the line. What's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, I appreciate y'all taking my call. And, hey, I wanted to wish you early happy Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you, Ed. Appreciate that.
But as far as you mentioned, and I know we'll agree on this, Jacob, but, you know, you said whether it'll pay dividends. And I know you're talking about mentioning about, you know, in the next game, but it's already paid big dividends in recruiting.
Yeah, I think that's true. I agree with that for sure.
Yeah, there's been two or three kids, the kid from Opelika, there's been two or three kids that just mentioned Deuce Knight. You know, I think it meant a whole lot for recruiting.
No doubt about it. Yeah, Malik Autry shutting down his commitment and things like that.
I was going to say one more thing. As far as Auburn basketball, the thing that's they've got a team to me that could last throughout the year. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to have a down period or whatever, but they've got so many good guys and good character, you know, and I'm just really excited about that aspect also.
I agree with that. I agree. Ed, always great to hear from you, man. Thanks for the call, and happy Thanksgiving to you as well. We'll share the schedule and everything a little bit later in the show of what's going on around here at the station. But, with Auburn basketball, I think they are made up of a really good group of guys, a good senior leadership, a good transfer class, and a good young core on that squad. And I'll say this before we get back to football. I am excited once it slows down a little bit, and maybe once Maui's done before Auburn goes on the road to Duke, I want to go back and watch some of these games again for Auburn. And I've watched a couple, but I want to go back and watch some of these games. And we have fallen in the trap before with Auburn basketball and some of these really good teams of they just don't have any flaws. They just seem unstoppable. They seem unbeatable. And look, here's the reality. That team doesn't exist. There is no perfect team in college basketball. And so, again, after Maui, I think I'm going to go back and watch a lot of these and just figure out, okay, what exactly is Auburn's weakness? I think you saw some of that last night when Iowa State threw just heavy man coverage and just pressured the basketball 35 feet out. I mean, Auburn was stuck, had nowhere to go. So I think some of those things, you're going to have to watch this team kind of grow and get better. But back to the football side of the thing where Ed was kind of going to and you and I were talking about, where can you build on some of this, right? Can you use this win against Texas A&M and the progress that you've made offensively, defensively, with the young guys for this football team? Can you build on that with one game to go and take it into an Iron Bowl that you have a lot to play for now because of your win against Texas A&M, and you have a bowl eligibility to play for? You have your sixth win to play for. You have an upset win to play for. You have a rivalry win to play for. And you still have that spoiler aspect to play for. You've taken one. Here comes Slenderman, right? He's got his axe. He's already done it once. Here he comes again. And you have a chance to do that on Saturday in Tuscaloosa.
You definitely do. And then going back to the final thing that Ed was talking about on the recruiting side of things, you know, not talking too much about crystal balls or anything like that, but Naeem Offord obviously was at the game.
Well, that's not just any crystal ball.
That is not just a crystal ball. It is not. That is the 5-star-plus cornerback that is currently committed to the Ohio State Buckeyes. But I think it's funny how things have begun to play out, because yesterday, after a Fong bomb was dropped that Naeem offered, that he was projecting Naeem offered to stay in state and come and flip to the Auburn Tigers. Ohio State went out and got a three-star cornerback right after. And so it's funny because nothing official has been said, but you're seeing a couple of the recruits say it, posting pictures with offered, saying, I like where this is going. Deuce Knight replied to it and said, that makes two of us. So you obviously know that they're all in the talks with everything, but how indirectly you can tie pieces together of, there's talks of an Ohio State cornerback leaving and they go and pick up one immediately. I think Auburn's feeling really confident where they're at with a couple of guys. Going right back to what we were talking about with the continuing to build with this Auburn program.
With the offered thing, that's been trending in that direction for quite some time. Nothing official. He still has to commit, still has to sign. Early signing day coming up in 10 days. I mean, you're talking about a lot that can happen between now and then for him and for a lot of these other guys, right? But you look at what that could do for Auburn, right? You pull up the recruiting rankings, and I use 247. You can use whoever you want. I think they're the best, and that's who I want to use. And so you look up what their top rankings are in the state of Alabama, right? We've done this in the past, but just to give you an update on the state of Alabama, right? Auburn has, after Malik Autry officially shuts it down, says he is fully committed to Auburn, been 2 years, he wants to make it final. Here's what Auburn has right now. Number 2, Jared Smith. Number 3, Malik Autry. Number 4, Anquan Fagans. Number 5, Eric Winters. Number 6, Ja'Caleb Falk. Number 8, Jordan Crawford. Number 9, Derek Smith. And number 10, Antonio Coleman. Also number 12, Alvin Henderson, if you want to throw that in there as well. Naeem Alford's the number 1 player in the class at the state of Alabama. If you do end up flipping him, right, that is 9 of the top 10 and 10 of the top 12 from the state of Alabama. The other two currently to Ohio State and Kentucky. That's pretty solid, man. That's a pretty solid pull if you can make that happen. Now, there's still, again, there's a lot of time between now and then, and we saw what happened a year ago on early signing day and how all the dates are now crazy and it's all jam-packed into this few-week period and all these things. But Ed's point is correct. A win like that on Saturday, and this was brought up yesterday in terms of a proof of concept, right? And I'm curious on what you have to say on this, Christian. We got a text yesterday that said Auburn finally had some proof of concept. I'm not willing to go that far yet, but Auburn does have the proof that they can win a big game. They finally did it under Hugh Freeze. Nearly 2 years in, they had a chance last year, had a couple of chances last year. Haven't had a ton of those big games this year. Still couldn't get them done. I'm not ready to say they showed a full proof of concept Saturday against Texas A&M, but the proof that you can win goes a long way for 18-year-old recruits.
Well, that was exactly what we've talked about, to where now that this team understands the feeling of a big-time win, you almost feel like it just makes everything grow. The intensity, the practices get more serious, they get better. You start walking with a little bit more understanding of how everything can go down. And again, as a recruit, why would you not want to be a part of that? Going off of the total proof of concept, I would not take a full step there. I would say that the concept outline, I guess, if you will, the formula has been there, and it's been good enough to have won 7, 8, possibly 9 games up to this point if everything were to go as planned. They just couldn't find a way to get out of their own way in the fourth quarter. But to be able to pick up a win like that at home, send the seniors out the right way, you feel like things have gotten understood a little bit more. But until this weekend happens, going back to what you were saying, where we were sitting there after the Kentucky game, like, okay, all right, things got figured out. The offense is going to flip. We're going to become much more of a running team. We're going to go through Jarquez Hunter. Then you saw how a couple games after that went. Until this Saturday happens, I'm not completely there to go full on yet.
Yeah, and the Kentucky win was It was a bag of mixed emotions because at the time, I think we as media fans and the players and everybody, I think they were just so daggum relieved to get a win. They were like, thank God, right? They were just like, I mean, it's possible. Like, what's the snake bit, right? This team, we realized after the Kentucky game, okay, Auburn is capable of beating somebody in Power Four football. That was almost what that was. But to your point of, you know, practicing harder and taking it a little bit more seriously and getting the juices flowing outside the walls, like, a win over Kentucky just doesn't do that. I'm sorry. Not here. Maybe at Vanderbilt, maybe at other Mississippi State, but that we're not that, right? This is Auburn. And a win over Kentucky is something that's supposed to happen. And what's crazy is, I don't think a single win over Missouri would have done that. I don't think a single win over Vanderbilt would have done that. I don't think a single win, maybe Oklahoma, maybe, but those all strung together could have done that.
Yes, not the words, a single one of those, not necessarily. But if all of a sudden you got to where you were 4-0 or 3-1 in October, you win your first game in November, then all of a sudden, yeah, you start hitting November on the right foot. Things really start rolling.
That would have the same, maybe more impact than the win did on Saturday against Texas A&M, but you at least were able to make some of that up with the win against Texas A&M. And my same quotes and statements that I said after Kentucky apply to this, and I know we got to get to break, is that's great. That's an awesome win against Texas A&M on Saturday, but what do you do now?
Yeah.
How do you respond? Do you just say, well, great season, we got our win, we're good, let's head to the offseason? Or do you build on that? Do you take that into Tuscaloosa and try to get more out of it? Are you going to squeeze that lemon anymore to see if there's something else? Or are you just going to say, yeah, we got enough, we're good? I don't know. That's up to the players, that's up to the coaches, and that's up to head boss man Hugh Freeze.
And that's why we're talking about pressing the brakes a little bit on the full proof of concept, trying to figure out a little bit. Right before we head to break, I know there's everybody that loves the whole the eyeball emoji that happened with recruits, and now Malik Autry used to do the fat Superman or whatever. He just posted 5 minutes ago and said a special bat signal for a special someone, and it's Batman standing in front of Samford behind the trees with toilet paper behind him. So, again, nothing official, but I think things are starting to look that way.
334-321-1390. That's the phone line number. We'll wrap up hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line after this.
War Eagle, this is Coach Hugh Freeze, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
Wrapping up our number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Got a few more minutes, only about three. We went a little long in that last segment. But UConn and Colorado, is that right? Is that who's tipping off right now in the Maui Invitational? We got it on here in the studio. And well, Dan Hurley looks okay right now. Officials haven't called anything against his team. So we'll see if that changes here in just a couple of minutes. What are those shirts? Is that confetti?
I was going to say little Nike confetti. I've seen the little golf polos, but they got the little UConn.
The polo color's cool. It's like a baby blue, and then there's like dark blue strips all over it.
Oh, well, that's why he's happy. They're up 18-12.
Oh, I didn't know it already started. Got you. Okay. Well, yeah, no wonder he's happy. Yeah, again, there must not be any calls yet. He probably hadn't had a chance to cuss any officials out. And did you see his comments? I mean, he was like, I didn't even know. I'd never even seen the one guy. I guess he's a college official. Like, what good does that do? You know what I mean? Like, what good does it do for you to step in there when that's the same six officials for the entire tournament and you to go in there and make them mad on opening day? Like, I don't get it, man. I really, really don't.
As somebody that's as universally loved as him, he continues to do a good job of just, you know, finding good ways to impact the media.
Well, it makes it hard to root for him. It makes it hard give him a little slack or anything. I don't know. It is what it is. So that game's getting going right now in the Maui Invitational. Of course, Auburn is playing North Carolina tonight in the Maui Invitational. More on that to come in the second hour. And we're also going to talk more Auburn, Texas A&M, and want to start talking a little bit about the comments from Auburn's DeMarcus Riddick, a freshman who has stepped up big time and has become very quickly, Christian, one of the best players on Auburn's defense, and he's quickly turned his mindset to Alabama. We'll get to his comments to start hour number two, I promise, but he better have a big game Saturday. That's all I can say. He better have a big game against Alabama. Well, now.
now definitely. But at least the good thing is that they asked the quarterback on the other side of the state about those comments, and he said that he doesn't even know who he is. So I guess he hasn't been watching any Auburn film, which kind of makes it a little bit ironic because that backfired really hard against you.
Yeah, I saw somebody say that. It's like, good to know our quarterback's not watching any film. Got it. It's like, turn it on. You can't miss him. He's all over the place. Hugh Freeze has literally said, we have gotten better because of him. We got better the moment we started playing him, is what Hugh Freeze said. But we'll tell you what DeMarcus Riddick said coming up in hour number two. Bama has responded, and Iron Bowl week is here, baby. We got that, plus more basketball talk, all that here on hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we're getting underway here in hour number two on ESPN 106.7. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. And if you missed any of hour number one, you can go and catch up with the podcast. We take the audio from the show, post it on our station website for you. So if you ever miss any parts of the show, any interviews, any audio, any segment, whatever the case may be, or you just want to go back and listen to it, that's cool too. You can go and check that out at ESPNAU.com. You can also find our SEC Football Challenge, the last weekend of that. Yes, the last week of SEC Football Challenge on our station website at ESPNAU.com. So be sure that you go and check all of that out. A lot of content here in hour number two. But in the first hour, we talked Auburn basketball against Iowa State. We'll have more of that for you here in this hour. Plus, previewing the Tigers taking on North Carolina tonight. Bruce Pearl and the boys out in Maui. We also talked some college football, which we're going to get into a lot more here in hour number two, because the bickering has started between Auburn and Alabama for Iron Bowl week. Plus, college football playoff rankings come out tonight. I'm sure we'll have no controversy there, and we'll all agree and kumbaya and be happy about it. So we'll have some of that discussion here in the second hour as well. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to me. You can also shoot me a text, 334-784-1067. And before we get into content, want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here on ESPN during my show On the Line, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them sponsoring the second hour of my show each and every day here on ESPN. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Let's dive into hour number two. And it was highlighted by some comments from Auburn's DeMarcus Riddick yesterday, who has emerged, Christian, as one of the best players defensively for Auburn this season. And just as a young freshman, he's diving right into this whole Iron Bowl rivalry between the Tigers and the Tide. He was asked yesterday in media availability what he thought about Ryan Williams. He says, quote, Ryan Williams is Ryan Williams. Yeah, he's electric, all this and that. In my eyes, he ain't really nobody to me. Ryan Williams is himself. He ain't no big-time player to me. That's what he had to say about the 17-year-old receiver at Alabama.
How old he is?
I think so, yeah. Okay. I'll get confirmation. I'll Google it. But that's what he had to say about the hardcore Auburn want that eventually goes to Alabama, breaks up the freeze five that made the freeze four. But DeMarcus Riddick says, yeah, he's no big-time player to me. He's really nobody to me. He's electric, all this and that. But in my eyes, he ain't really nobody to me. That's just step one.
I was going
to
say, at least that was the only thing that he said about
anybody, right?
He went ahead. He followed it up by
saying, with
Milrow, saying he's a good quarterback. He's fast, but, I mean, he's not faster than me. He will not get out of the box this week.
He's fast, but he ain't faster than me. That's a linebacker saying that, ladies and gentlemen.
It is. And, again, DeMarcus Riddick has played a fantastic spy this year for Auburn. And we saw him make plenty of plays against Texas A&M. Milrow ran for 18 times for 107 yards last year. And so you're pretty much going to have to play with the spy, as I'm sure most defenses do, where you're not necessarily trying to get to Milrow. You're almost just trying to either A, keep him in the pocket, or B, make him pick a side, and that's when DeMarcus Riddick can go after him. So he's done a good job so far, but you might be playing one of the faster players in the country this upcoming Saturday.
And then he tripled down and said,
no.
As a freshman, I will not lose to Bama during my time here. So says Ryan Williams is not all that, just another player. Jalen Milrow's fast, but he ain't faster than me. And my name is DeMarcus Riddick, and I will not lose to Bama during my time here.
There's two very different ways that you can take what's being said. You can take it as, oh, man, as Auburn is 5-6 after a big-time win, are they already feeling like they're that? Or you can take that as, look at the mentality that the freshmen have, because they're the ones playing the majority of snaps on defense. There's big-time freshmen making plays on offense. Maybe that's the mentality of this group, and maybe it's the mentality that you have to have. Maybe Riddick just overly vocalized it.
We'll break it down. Let's see what the people have to say. 334-321-1390. Jones, you're on the line. What's your thoughts on all this?
Well, my thoughts are about predictions. You know, the boldest prediction in history is probably Joe Namath many years ago in the Super Bowl. But there was a prediction made before you guys were born that I remember very well, when Alabama was ranked number two, and Terry Henley, who was an audaciously tough running back at Auburn, won SEC back of the year, ran for about 1,200 his senior year, and was scared of no man, I can promise you that.
That's right.
And he basically said, we're going to beat the number two out of Alabama. And I think that's when the Toomer's Corner thing started. But sure enough, they did. They won, and bottom line is predictions scare me. But getting to Auburn basketball, when I saw the documentary, if you will, of the Auburn basketball team out on the canoes, and I don't know if you've ever rowed a canoe in the ocean with the waves coming against you. That's tough. In about 10 seconds, your shoulders are gone.
Yeah, it's hard.
I thought, man, that is not good. If you're going to play three games, and I'm surprised they survived it, but they're in a lot better shape than I am. But I was concerned about fatigue watching that episode of, you know, not necessarily a documentary, but you know what I'm saying. Just showed them having a good time.
Yeah.
For a few days. So anyway, predictions scare the heck out of me. I wish Auburn guys would just play the game and not do that, because they are at Tuscaloosa, or we are at Tuscaloosa, not at Jordan-Hare. And at Jordan-Hare at night, I would feel very confident maybe in those kind of predictions. But those things can kind of come up and slap you in the face, especially now since Alabama did lose in the way they lost to Oklahoma. I feel like that they're going to be kind of in a must-win situation. Mm-hmm. Had they won at Oklahoma, I think Auburn would have a better chance. But again, maybe Auburn's just got what the mojo that's needed to take them through this thing. I hope they do. I pray that they do.
I hope so, too.
So, guys, I love the show. I like to sit back and listen. I do love calls from Ed and Spectre. And I just love them all. And keep them coming, brothers, because it makes my day worth living. Thank you, man.
Appreciate the call, Jones. Always great to hear from you, my man. You're very active on the phone lines and the text box and a loyal listener. We appreciate you and glad we can bring that to you on a Tuesday afternoon. And look, I get exactly what he's saying, right? It's still scary. This is still a big game for Auburn in the Iron Bowl. It's still the Iron Bowl. Nothing has changed in that aspect of it. But as you were saying, as I was getting Jones on the phone, is there are two ways to look at it. And this is a common, very, very common example of how two things can be true at the same time. You can like the confidence of a freshman like DeMarcus Riddick, who low-key got me fired up reading it and hearing it and kind of diving into this thing a little bit and talking to some of the media members who had a chance to be there yesterday and interview the players. I wasn't able to. I was there for the coach press conference, but got to get back to work and get ready for the show. And it gets you pumped up. It's like, man, it's about time that there's some Auburn players that want to play for Auburn, that are confident in playing for Auburn. And as T-Bone said yesterday, they're not scared of Alabama. We've had a lot of good players here in the recent years. We've had a lot of good ones who've talked a lot of game, but not very many of them can back it up. So it is okay for you to listen to the comments from a guy like DeMarcus Riddick and say, man, I absolutely love to hear that confidence, to hear the swagger, to have that just factor when you go up against Alabama. You can believe that and you can have that feeling, but at the same time you can say, let's humble ourselves a little bit, right? Let's try to back it up before we come out swinging like this. And one game doesn't define you good or bad. You hear coaches say that all the time. This example is in a good game and a win. Just because you beat A&M does not mean you're going to walk on the field and beat Alabama on Saturday.
And they asked Milroe to respond about everything that Riddick said, and Milroe's response was, quote, I don't even know who that is, but let him talk. It's a part of it. It's all about executing, and it's all about executing what we need to do so that we can be the best us this weekend. And it's a quote that I don't think he intended to be a little bit comical to Milroe, but it ended up being a little bit funny of saying, I don't even know who that is, because on a Tuesday morning, I hope you know who DeMarcus Riddick is, because that means that film-wise, you might not watch him.
Is he the best player on Auburn's defense? Possibly. You better know who he is, because he knows who you are, and DeMarcus Riddick's coming after you. And I think Auburn, as they have several times here down the stretch, and we've begged them to do this, let him go. Let him eat. Let DeMarcus Riddick do whatever the heck he wants to do. He's good enough to do it. He's proven that as a freshman. Let him get after Jalen Milroe on Saturday. 334-321-1390. Back to the phone line. Spectre, your name was requested, son. I'm glad you called in.
Oh, great. Well, listen, I absolutely love it. And let Riddick do what he does best and let him back it up. I tell you what, the GOAT of trash talkers, you may not remember. I guess you're too young. But the GOAT of trash talkers was Deion Sanders, and he backed it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know where he's at today.
He's successful. I always think of the clip of, and they showed it in the Last Dance documentary. I don't know if you watched that on Michael Jordan. With Jordan and Larry Bird, they always went at it, and those guys could back it up. They talked so much trash, but they were able to back it up, and that's a huge part of it, Spectre. You know that.
Yeah, you have these guys. You have these GOAT trash talkers in every type of sport. You got them in NASCAR. You got them in football, baseball. Yeah, in basketball. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm 100% behind Riddick, and you know, it's motivation is what it is, guys. It's motivation. Where has this trash talk been the last 11 games?
Yeah. I mean, you got to find, I think winning, it's crazy what type of a drug winning is and what it does to a player and a coach and a locker room and their mindset. You just can't get over-amped, overconfident, right? You have to do the work and preparation to be able to execute. But having that belief and that confidence, man, that's a big, big factor, and it goes a long way.
Yeah, Alabama's licking their wounds right now, so this is the time to get them.
That's right. Great. Appreciate the call, Spector. Good to hear from you, my man. 334-321-1390.
The only thing, as much as you love the confidence, you hear all about this bulletin board material, and a lot of teams use that in their advantage, right? And so if you're going to be good enough to talk it, you're going to have to be good enough to show it up. Best thing is, and the good thing about it is you do. You play with them on the same field on Saturday. You get the chance to defend all of your statements. I'm kind of on the same page where I enjoy it. I like it. I like the fact that you're not afraid of the, quote, you know, the bigger team or the big brother that so many people have given Alabama over Auburn over the past couple of years. It's almost like you're standing up for yourself. You're not going to take any of the disrespect. And it's the fact that it's the freshmen that are coming out, the people that are beginning to build this program, the first class that Hugh Freeze brought in, They're the ones that are laying that foundation of, we're not going to take any of the disrespect. We're going to go out, we're going to talk a little bit, and we're going to go and back it up. And you hope that they're able to, because they're going to get the chance to on Saturday afternoon.
They will. And again, it goes back to what Freeze said yesterday in his presser, and he even said it last night during Tiger Talk. It's like, having the belief that you can win is the first step in winning and having
it's
a chance
to
winning. Yeah, I mean, believing that you can. And like we said, that win over Kentucky may not have been what Auburn truly needed to have the confidence of, we can hang with these guys, we can hang with anybody. But when you beat a team like that, and no, it wasn't a blowout win, but Auburn started out hot, right, and dominated them early. And, yeah, it was a good team, and I said yesterday they were going to get theirs, and they did. And you finally got one to go your way in the same situation you had been in time and time again where it did not go your way. And it's funny with Riddick, too, because what if this was – I don't know. I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus and make him look or sound bad. What if it was Perry Thompson? Take Perry, for example. A guy that is really good, is going to be very good, but in terms of this season, just hasn't had all that big of an effect on this squad, right? Yeah. Hasn't had that big of a role. But if he had come out, or somebody like him had come out and said, oh, yeah, we're going to crush Alabama, Jalen Milroe, who, I don't even know. You know what I'm saying? Like, if somebody like that had made some of these comments, I think I'd have a little bit more concern. But even if Auburn doesn't win the game on Saturday against Alabama, there's a good chance that DeMarcus Riddick will play good and be able to say, I did my part. I backed myself up. Yeah, I made those comments, but I had this sack, or I played this way. Now, a little bit different defensively than offensively, but I think if there's anybody on that defense that you want to talk a little trash, I think DeMarcus Riddick's probably the one you'd pick, would it not?
He's kind of the go-to guy. Again, he's the guy that plays that spy position. So although it's 11-on-11, a majority of the times DeMarcus Riddick is going to be playing one-on-one football. It is going to be DeMarcus Riddick versus Jalen Milroe. And
if he wins that one-on-one battle, Auburn wins Saturday. I think that is legitimately what it comes down to. And given how Milroe has played recently, I'll take my bets on DeMarcus Riddick.
And that was kind of where I was hinting at as well. If, I mean, you're talking about, where does Auburn go? Where does Alabama go from what they've seen into this past Saturday? After you lose to Tennessee, you have a great win against Missouri, a fantastic win on the road in Baton Rouge. You beat Mercer. Then Oklahoma. And you put up a field goal in four quarters of action. Where do you go on that side of the football? Because the way that it's listed right now, Alabama, before this game is even played, has a 37% chance to make the playoff, according to ESPN, which is insane to think about. And if they beat Auburn,
they still have a 37% chance.
And if they beat Auburn, it goes up to 41.
If they lose, what does it go down to? Probably.
If they lose, zero. I'm sure that it's.
Are you on the predictor thing?
I am. Okay. I love that thing.
Well, we'll go
back. It goes
to
1%.
Okay, yeah.
But the fact that even a three-loss team right now, would you take Alabama over South Carolina right now?
No.
If South Carolina beats Clemson?
No.
No way.
No. We'll talk more about this when we come back, because we do have playoff rankings coming out tonight. And again, I'm sure we're going to have all the clarity, all the answers. They're going to tell us exactly what has to happen this weekend. Nobody will be confused or upset. Where's Dan Hurley? Can he get mad for us somewhere? We'll talk more college football and the playoff rankings that come out tonight when we come back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
It's Tuesday, which means college football playoff rankings come out tonight. Yay. We're all so excited because we're going to get rankings that don't reflect in the bracket, but we still have tiebreakers and we still have playoff odds and predictors and percentages, and we have a lot of confusion.
I think
is the best way to put this. And I was hoping that in college football, right, with this new format and formula and whatever the heck you want to call it, I was hoping that the results on the field, Christian, were going to allow us to have all the answers based off of the results. And I think eventually we will. But let's just look at this from a 30,000-foot view for a second. Look at all the question marks we have going into the final week of the regular season. We have poo-pooed on this quite a bit, yes. But look at the drama it has created in late November. We've never had this many teams, these many games, and this much drama going into a rivalry weekend. Normally it's, what, the Iron Bowl? Normally it's the Iron Bowl. Normally it's the big game for Ohio State, Michigan. And then I was going to say sometimes Clemson, South Carolina, sometimes Georgia, Georgia Tech, like sometimes Oregon, Washington, some of those types of outside games.
And half of those aren't even about both teams with a chance. It's just making sure that Georgia doesn't get upset.
Right. But look around college football. I mean, you've got 10 or 15 games this weekend that have legitimate playoff implications, starting with, as crazy as it sounds, Oklahoma State, Colorado, Saturday at 11 a.m. Also, Georgia Tech and Georgia, which that's a Friday night game. That is a Friday night game, not Saturday. That is Friday. You have here. Let's count them. Starting Thursday, Thanksgiving night. Let's count how many games that we believe have playoff implications for one or both teams going into rivalry weekend. Are you ready? I would say Memphis-Tulane, because I think Tulane has an outsider's chance right now, given what that conference looks like.
Tulane sits at 25%.
Yep.
So here, I'll pull this up. You got that. Let's go.
Oklahoma State-Colorado.
Colorado sits at a 7% chance.
They need a lot of help, but they're still mathematically alive in the Big 12. That's what's keeping all this alive. I would say Georgia-Georgia Tech, Michigan-Ohio State. I'd say Tennessee-Vandy. I'd say South Carolina-Clemson.
What a game that is. Sorry to interrupt you. Clemson's
right
at 24%. South Carolina's at 23%. But, I mean, that's a game right there to where you could see the winner getting in.
T-Bone said that yesterday. He said winner's in, loser's out.
Let's see. So if if Clemson wins and they don't make their conference championship game, it would list them as a 37% chance to make it. If they make it and lose, it has them as a 2% chance. Again,
there it is.
Goes right back to it. Gosh. Right. Why play? Why play for Clemson?
That's six. I would say Maryland, Penn State, because of Penn State. If they lose, I don't think they're out. They're still not going to make the Big Ten championship game. I'd love to hear what the odds say about that for Penn State. They're a 10-1 team who we've just forgotten that they lost to Ohio State. Yes, it's a, quote, good loss, but you get teams like Indiana who get drugged for their crappy schedule, and Penn State's done the same thing.
They have it. Sorry, I'll answer that one in a minute. They have it to where South Carolina, if they beat Clemson, theirs jumps up from 23 to 58% chance.
And they don't have to play in Atlanta.
No, they can't.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, but they can't, and they won't, and they don't have to.
But you're saying Penn State now?
Mm-hmm.
Penn State with a win over Maryland, and they don't make the conference championship game, would still have a 99% chance of getting in. If they make it and lose, it's still 99%.
So I'm not going to count Maryland-Penn State as a playoff implication type of game. I am going to count, however, Notre Dame and USC.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Notre Dame can afford a loss. What does the old ESPN playoff predictor tell us?
With a loss to USC, Notre Dame would still have a 67% chance of making
That's
a playoff.
That's so garbage. That is so garbage because they are going to be rewarded for not being in a conference because they don't have a championship game, they don't have an extra loss, and we're just somehow forgetting the fact that they lost to Northern Illinois.
And something just clicked. We've talked about how teams won't want to play their conference championship game. Notre Dame's the perfect example because they never play one.
They never play.
They never play one, and they get rewarded by not playing one every single time.
That's ridiculous.
That is the 2AT. You post that up of why teams should not play. If they are a borderline two-loss team in the SEC, why you should not play your conference championship game.
To heck with conferences. Let's just play a free-for-all and just schedule whoever the heck you want to and see if you can make it to the playoff. That's what Notre Dame's
doing.
Because
you can play nobody in as long as you go 10-2.
Yep.
You're good.
That's absurd. The fact that Notre Dame can lose that game and still make the playoff makes me sick. All right, we got to go quickly here. Auburn, Alabama, that's one. Miami, Syracuse, that's one. SMU, Cal, that's one. Arizona State, Arizona, that's one. I'd say Purdue, Indiana, that's one. I'm up to 11 now. Oregon can lose, they're fine. Texas, Texas A&M, that's one. That's 12. Iowa State, Kansas State, that's one. That's 13. How about Houston, BYU? That's one. I got 14 games in college football this weekend that have legitimate college football playoff implications.
There are 23 teams that are listed right now with a chance to get into the playoff. A&M and Ole Miss are at the bottom with 6%. So, again, that shows the bottom half. But, again, there are 23 teams that still, quote-unquote, have a chance. And you're going into week 14.
If there is a positive, the playoff has done exactly what they said it was going to do. It's going to create drama. And you got a lot of it going in to rivalry weekend. And as much fun as college football is, there's still a lot of college basketball that's going to be happening, including Auburn and North Carolina. We're talking about that game when we come back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Don't you dare turn the radio dial.
With Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, and lots of basketball to talk about. But I think we should. Scrolling through X and Twitter just now through the break, and Auburn football tweeted out something from Hugh Freeze, and he talks about this every week, right? He has his weekly meeting, his weekly message to his team about what message he wants to send to his team, and he comes in and has basically just talks to him about what he wants them to take away from the week, and this is what you get with a War Eagle Plus subscription. So this is from Auburn Football. They tweeted this out. It says, tune in now to WarEaglePlus.com to watch the early viewing of our cinematic recap versus Texas A&M, right? This was, this I guess is from the week going into Texas A&M, right? And what his message was to a lot of the upperclassmen guys for Auburn. And this sort of a video, this is only about a minute long, of the, again, you can have the subscription, you can go watch the whole thing, whatever you want to do, WarEaglePlus.com. But this video kind of sums up and gives us an inside look on why it meant so much to the seniors on Saturday night and why I think they played as hard as they did. I'm going to try and play this. It's gonna be kind of bougie here. I got to hold it up because I've got it on my phone because I didn't have time to pull it up. But let's see if this will work. This is a 59-second clip of Hugh Freeze in his weekly meeting during Auburn and Texas A&M week with the guys for Auburn football. Let's see if we can make this work.
I shared this with Eugene. I shared it with Jarquez. I teared up when I told him this because it does hurt. I'm sorry. You're not going to get to experience the fullness that's coming to Auburn football. You won't get to experience the fullness of it. This is from Eugene. If some of us must suffer this year to understand adversity and show these young kids how to handle it and blossom into something for the next season and establish a true standard of winning ways at Auburn football, so be it. Sign me up. And my joy will come from that service.
And you can check out the entire video at WarEaglePlus.com. That's the snippet that Auburn Football just tweeted out and felt that it was necessary to share that because, man, that's powerful right there, CG. That's powerful stuff from head coach Hugh Freeze. And in case you couldn't hear it and couldn't pick up what was happening there, Freeze is in tears. I mean, he is breaking down, losing it, and trying to hold it together for his guys in front of his entire team. And I think that goes a long way to show just what it does mean to the guys in the locker room. And let's be real. Let's call ourselves out here for a second on this particular program. We have called the upperclassmen out quite a bit this season. And Hugh Freeze has too. And there's been a disconnect, I think, there. But man, that just kind of shows why they played as hard as they did on Saturday. It shows why they were as emotional as they were on Saturday and what that win really did mean for these seniors who are really trying to build Auburn football. And I think it shows what Hugh Freeze is trying to do and build Auburn football back, too. That was incredible.
I mean, that is...
Again, WarEaglePlus.com. That's where you can get the whole thing. You can sign up and find the whole video.
That is raw emotion coming out right there. I mean, that is quite literally what that is. And I mean, you could hear it from Freeze talking at midfield post game, just how things finally went their way, because so many things haven't this season. So to be able to send those guys out on the right foot and for that to be the mentality of that senior group, to where if it takes us learning through suffering and pain and losing, so be it. Sign me up.
Like, I mean, there's been so many guys, and look at some of the dudes who have been here their entire careers. There's not many of them, but there are. And Jarquez Hunter's one of those guys who, man, he's been through a lot with Auburn football. And I have a feeling that Hugh Freeze, if Auburn does get this thing turned around, he'll be sending messages and having phone calls with guys like Bo Nix, who went through Auburn and helped try to build this thing and just couldn't quite get there through the hardships, right? And eventually get to see the program be what we all think it can be. But shout out to the seniors on this squad, man. That's a heck of a video. Again, credit to War Eagle Plus, WarEaglePlus.com. You can go subscribe to that and get the full content. That just 59-second clip was tweeted out by Auburn Football just now. You can go find that on X as well. Felt that it was important to share that just to give you a little insight on what that win. And again, that was leading into the Auburn-Texas A&M game, which shows why the win meant just as much as it did. Want to flip over back to Auburn basketball as they take on North Carolina tonight in Maui. You've currently got the game going on in Maui right now. UConn up big in the first half. It is halftime right now there in Maui. You've got games going on all day and all night. And yes, unfortunately, Auburn is playing in the late game. Auburn is, UConn actually, Colorado closed it a little bit. Okay, they're only up by 8. Not bad. I hope Colorado comes back and beat him, man. And Dan Hurley back on his stuff today. Back on it, man. He has not quit barking. Every time I look up at the TV in the studio, he's hollering and losing his glasses and going crazy. But you have Texas A&M Oregon happening right now. Alabama Houston tonight, 7 o'clock on TBS. Iowa State and Dayton, the two losers from last night, will go at it 7:30 on ESPNU. Don't forget, over on ESPN, it's a Sonic blockbuster. The number one team in the land, the Kansas Jayhawks, take on the 11th-ranked Duke Blue Devils after they're trying to get a big win on the year, their second big win on the year. They lost to Kentucky, they beat Wofford, and then they beat Arizona 69-55, jumped all over them the other night. So that's a big one, right? Duke and Kansas, and then your Auburn Tigers and the North Carolina Tar Heels. Better start drinking coffees and Red Bulls or take a mid-afternoon nap, ladies and gentlemen. 10 p.m. start. Television is ESPN. Of course, locally, you can catch Andy Burcham on the radio call on Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com, and the Radio Alabama app. Christian, your thoughts, Auburn favored by 3.5.
First off, I'm hoping the game actually starts at 10. I mean, there's the game right in front of it, too. So if there's if that game for some reason.
And it's not even in the same gym. It's the Kansas-Duke game that could affect the start time
right.
of that. Oh, well, I mean, that Iowa State-Dayton game is right before it. It's at 7:30, but that's at least spaced out enough to where it shouldn't affect it.
Yes, but it's the 2 hours for the...
Oh, man. This thing isn't starting until 10:15, 10:30.
And you know it's going to be you can find your coverage on ESPN2 or something.
ESPN News.
Or, yeah, right.
Oh.
Auburn currently has a... opened at a 4.5. I believe it jumped up to a 5.5. Now currently sits... with Auburn by 3.5. Auburn was kind of the other way around for the Iowa State game where it opened as a 2.5, and I believe it closed right around 3.5 or 4. Over-under is sitting at 166.5. So they're expecting a lot of points to be scored in this game, especially for it being night two of a back-to-back and what will be a back-to-back-to-back game in where both of these teams played all of 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these teams, I mean, Bruce Pearl talked about it, and that's why he loves the tournament so much, because it feels like what it's going to feel like in late March, where you're playing back-to-back games. You're playing multiple games in a weekend to where you don't have 3 or 4 days of rest in between. You're going to play a great team, and you're going to wake up the next day. You're going to get prepared. You're going to get iced up, and you're going to get hydrated because number 12 sitting there waiting on you once again.
His quotes last night were awesome. Bruce's, he said, it's a great win, but we're not satisfied. He said, we're not done. He said, we got more games to play.
I loved the pregame. You know how they do the mic'd up? It was him in the locker room saying that Auburn, this team is the first Auburn team to beat a top five ranked team in the regular season or whatever it was. He said, you know what? We're going to go do it again.
So let's go do it again. That's all. I mean, it's just, Bruce is one of those guys that you want to play for. And call me crazy, but he seems to have a little bit more of an edge this year. He seems to have a little bit more of a swagger this year. Not the negative Dan Hurley swagger. I'm talking legitimate, just full-on focused. And I think it's because, Christian, he knows how good this team is, and he knows how good they can be.
And this is what we talked about before the season was even starting.
That's exactly
he realized that this team was good enough to make a legitimate run. So rather than trying to beef up your record non-conference by playing a couple teams you know that you're going to beat to where, you know, where you hit SEC play at 13-2 rather than 10-5 or 11-4, whatever it may be, he understands we need to go ahead and play the best of the best. That way, when we hit the SEC schedule, it's going to be tough enough, but we know what we need to do to continue to get better. And you can tell that the little meme of, and that was personal to me, or I took that personally. He has that with him this year. He understands how good the team is, but he understands that the past couple teams have been pretty dang good as well and haven't lived up to the expectation. It's his goal personally to make that change this year.
And I think he understands that his teams have fallen short since they got to the Final Four. I mean, they have significantly underperformed in the postseason. And look, I love BP and I love that team and everything about the program, but that's just a fact. That's a fact. Auburn men's basketball, since making the Final Four in 2019, has significantly underperformed in the postseason. When it mattered, they have not done what they were supposed to do or even gotten close to what they were supposed to do. And so that's why you saw and have seen guys like Jani Broome and Dylan Cardwell and Chaney Johnson and Denver Jones decide to come back. That's why you also saw guys like Miles Kelly and JP Pegues, which I know we don't have a ton of time left in the show, but that's a That's a situation trending in the wrong direction, I think. But you saw guys like that come in, and then you bring in the likes of Jakai Howard and, of course, Todd Pettiford. This team is really, really good. And they're going up against a team tonight in North Carolina that's also really, really good. They're 4-1. That one loss came by just 3 points against the Kansas Jayhawks in Allen Fieldhouse.
I was clicking on it right now to see if it was a neutral site or if it was.
Oh, no. It was in Lawrence. It was in Allen Fieldhouse where Kansas wins 92-89. I believe that was just the second game of the season. It was.
Yeah.
Both teams were just 1-0, and North Carolina took Kansas to the mat in their own building and just could not hang on. They also dropped 107 on American, dropped 87 on the road against Hawaii, apparently. Did they play that game before they started the Maui Invitational?
I was about to say
that. That is a genius move. What day was this? November 22nd. They sure as heck did. How about that? I did not know that. They flew down to Hawaii and played the Rainbow Warriors.
In Honolulu.
In Honolulu. 3 days. No, yeah, 3 days before they played the Maui Invitational. That's pretty cool. Good for them. And then they came back from 21 points last night to beat a really scrappy Dayton Flyers team.
And it's a 35-minute flight from Honolulu to Maui.
Well, there you go.
That's pretty smart, right?
That's pretty smart. Good for them. And again, that's a team in North Carolina that's really, really good. And I'll go ahead and tell you a couple of names that you need to know in case you did not stay up and watch that game last night. You didn't have to watch that game to know who these guys are, but I'm just telling you, RJ Davis is one of the best older guards in college basketball. Auburn will have their hands full. I expect him and Denver Jones to go at it tonight in Maui. You also need to know about Jalen Withers, who is their big man. That's their monster. That's the dude that they're going to go with. And if you know those two guys, you're going to be okay. Also, Seth Trimble is a guard that Auburn's going to have to focus on. He averages 17, and RJ Davis averages 20. And Christian, you've watched this North Carolina team. Heck, you stayed up and watched them last night. Those two guys can play. And Auburn, whether it be Denver Jones, whether it be J.P. Pegues, whether it be Tahad Pettiford, or even Chad Baker-Mazzara, in terms of guard-on-guard play, this is going to be an awesome matchup tonight.
It's going to be everything that you could possibly want and more. And you're talking about two of the main guards, but a storyline that has been brought up a little bit but isn't necessarily the highlight of everything. Tahad Pettiford and Elliot Cadeau. Elliot Cadeau is the freshman guard at North Carolina. They grew up together. And I don't mean just grew up by knowing each other. They played on the same AAU team when they were like 7 years old up until high school. So these two are best friends. And so what a fun matchup that could be, watching two of the best point guards in the country go after it.
We'll make some predictions.
There
you go. Yeah. We'll make some predictions when we come back for some of the biggest games in this young college basketball season as we wrap up the Tuesday edition of On the Line after this.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a great show today, man. We've had a lot of fun talking a lot of basketball, a lot of football, college football playoff rankings tonight, Auburn and North Carolina. Looks like we got a phone call. Let's get to this really quickly here. 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, it's Ty the Tiger, man.
What's up, Ty? How are you, brother?
Man, just trying to save as much energy as I can. Gonna chug me a Red Bull about 8:30 tonight. Gotta stay up for this game, baby.
There you go. Well, hey, got just a minute or so. Give me your prediction. What you think is gonna happen?
Real quick, I think they're gonna go ahead. They'll be leading by about 4 or 5 at half, but I think we come with the defense. I think they're gonna be a lot tireder than us. They play a lot less kids. I think our depth's gonna overwhelm it. And, hey, don't forget a couple weeks ago or last week I called in and told you we're going to beat A&M, we're going to beat Bama, and we're going to be on a high on this offseason, and we're going to be the best thing ever. And Auburn fans, just get ready for it because here comes your offseason of bragging. It's coming, big dog. It's coming.
Here it
never,
comes.
Never, ever have we lost to a Bama team in Tuscaloosa, not coached by Nick Saban. We're 4-0, going to be 5-0 this weekend. War Damn Eagle. Love y'all guys.
Love you. Appreciate it, man. Boom! That's how you do it. That's how you end the show.
That needs to be the closing outro.
Yeah, just roll the credits. Come on. Come on. Roll the music. I'm good. Get out of here. Ty, appreciate you, my man. Wish we had more time. I hate to cut you short, but we're running up against the last break of the show. How about that? Says he did. He caught it. He said Auburn's going to beat A&M. Check. He thinks Auburn's going to beat Alabama. We'll see how that goes as well. He thinks Auburn is going to win tonight against North Carolina. Rapid fire picks. Here we go on tonight's college basketball action. We'll start with Duke and Kansas. This is neutral site, right? This is in is this in Vegas too?
This is the Vegas game after Alabama Houston. Yeah.
This is after that game? Wow, that's crazy. Okay. I'm going to take Kansas. I'm going to take Kansas. I just think Hunter Dickinson's too good. I think that guard, they've got a couple of guards who are just really, really special. I think Duke showed some flaws against Kentucky. They'll hang. This will be close, but I'll take the Jayhawks. What's the spread on this game? Do you have that pulled up? If not, I can get it. Kansas is – I should have had this pulled up already, but I did not. Kansas is an underdog? Whoa.
I was going to go Duke.
Okay.
I was.
Take Duke then.
This is youth versus experience, but I think Duke has a couple more players than Kentucky – or than Kansas does overall.
You're on the Cooper flag train. Boo.
Not even him as much.
Boo.
I think that – I mean, he is – the attention drawer for this team, but if he can be somebody that is a distributor, I think this team could go really far.
Iowa State, Dayton, who you got?
Iowa State.
Iowa State, I think so. I just think they're gonna make Dayton's life really, really miserable here tonight. How about this? Houston and Alabama. This one is in Vegas as well. Neutral site game. We saw what Auburn did to Houston. Can Alabama do the same? Houston favored by 4.5.
Take it.
I think so too.
Give me 4.5.
I'll take Houston by 9.
Sure.
Houston by 9.
It'll be close, but usually when you see Alabama make that run with about 6 minutes left in the second half where they hit 4 threes in about 30 seconds, I think Houston's on-ball and perimeter defense is good enough to do the best they can to shut it down. Houston is going to want to play a half-court set type of offense, and nothing against what Alabama wants to do, but that is not their type of offense. They do not want to play. They want to get up and down the floor. They don't want to play 40 minutes of set offense. I'll take Houston in a lower scoring game than many people think.
Speaking of a run, Colorado's on a big run right now against UConn in the Maui Invitational. UConn 46, Colorado 44, 14.5 to play. Watch out for the Buffaloes. Could UConn go 0-2 in Maui? That'd be pretty crazy.
Ain't no way.
Ain't no way the Buffaloes could beat the back-to-back defending champion Huskies, right? All right, Auburn, North Carolina tonight. You can listen 10 o'clock. Whew, 10 o'clock. Wings 94-3. Pregame starts at 9:30 with Andy Burcham. Do the Tigers win tonight?
The depth of Auburn Tigers win tonight. I think what Ty brought up was a really good point. Only 7 players played more than 6 minutes, I believe, or 8 minutes for North Carolina last night. Auburn going to be a little bit more refreshed. Guard play is going to be so big tonight for the Tigers.
I think Auburn shoots the ball really, really well tonight. I think what Daryl Dapperidge called out about Miles Kelly having a good game, I think it happens tonight. Give me Auburn 85, North Carolina 76. Tigers will win. And if they don't, we'll talk about it tomorrow regardless. 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7.
Do it for Chuma. For Chuma.
Until then, tomorrow, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.